You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Whether you're switching to a spring wardrobe, finally clearing out overflowing closets, or just have a mountain of unopened mail to go through, decluttering might seem like a big task to tackle. But it doesn't have to be. To get some advice on how to approach spring cleaning, Lake Effect's Exgrit Nunez is joined by Tamara Starr, a professional organizer and owner of Sweet Simplicity. She shares a few tips and tricks so that your home can get and stay clutter-free.
It's that time of year where some people are looking for a refresh at home, but some people might not know where to start. So I thought it'd be best to reach out to you for advice on this subject. But I want to start by asking, what exactly is a professional organizer?
Well, professional organizer is someone that's coming in and working with you most of the time side by side, helping you get through your clutter. It's sometimes a lot easier than working with your sister or your spouse who might suggest that you get rid of that dress and you feel a little offended by it. Somehow a professional organizer coming in and doing the same stuff seems a little bit easier. And we are also good at reading you and coming up with great suggestions for what to do to make decisions on letting go or how to get the house organized so that you can maintain it after we leave.
That's interesting. I'm sure that through your career, you've seen a lot and worked with a lot of different spaces. But I want to kind of dive into the process of decluttering a home.
Sure.
What's the first step someone should do?
Well, first, I want people to realize that it doesn't have to be as hard as you think it's going to be. Don't think that you have to plan the whole weekend or take off of work. It doesn't have to be done that way. As long as you're doing it regularly, 15 minutes a day, you put the food in the oven and now you're going to clean out the junk drawer. Just be consistent with it and touch one drawer at a time, one shelf at a time, whatever it is, just be consistent with them. And then once you've decluttered those little spots, then go back and then do the whole kitchen once you've done all the little things. And don't go pick the sentimental items first. Don't sit down with the photo album. Pick the really easy things to get through first. Some people will go room by room. Some people might pick a category. If you walk into your office, just pick all the Target bags, pick and save bags, your Amazon boxes. Pick those up. Those are the things I'm going to start with when I come in your house. Walk in and just start with those super easy things. And it's like, okay, I've got some of this done. And then when you get in the swing of it, or once those things have been done and the next time you come back, then you can gradually get to the harder and harder things.
And I remember something that you had mentioned to me previously is being conscious of your things versus the things of others. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I have rules for when I'm doing my presentations and working with clients. I'll talk about the rules of decluttering your home. And it's focus on your own stuff. Do not touch other people's things, like your husband's guitar. I always use that example that you might be working on your stuff and you're stuck. You're overthinking about it. And you look across the room and you see his guitar and you're thinking, man, that's from high school. He never plays it. It's always just sitting there. So that would be a great thing to just get rid of that. And that's you avoiding making a decision on your own stuff. Leave his stuff alone, work on your own. And it's the same with the kids, too, because you might come in and see a ratty stuffed bunny, and you're thinking that's a good thing to get rid of. But that's the one that maybe your kid goes to sleep with at night, and they don't want the new one. They feel more connected with this old one. So another rule is getting your kids involved and teaching them young to start making decisions on letting go of their items and even participating in making decisions on some of the family stuff, family games, family videos, yard games, things that they might be using. They can ask them, do you use these? And let them learn how to let go.
Yeah, that's a really great strategy. Okay, so I kind of want to move forward to when you're starting the process of decluttering someone's home or giving advice, is there a room you suggest people should start with?
I'm always asked where we should get started. My thing is telling my clients to pick the room, the spot that's bothering them the most. So I might come in and see that the living room has so much clutter that I think we should start here. But you might feel every single morning you start your day off frustrated that your bathroom vanity is just a mess. You can't find your things. And that's what's starting off your day. And so let's start there, and then we'll move on to these other areas. Because again, a lot of times you suddenly get motivated that, oh, that wasn't so bad doing the bathroom vanity. Can we just do the linen closet too? Because that's part of the
routine.
And then you start figuring out what you want to do next. And we might jump to the entryway and we haven't even gotten to the living room yet, but you're finding those places that bugged you the most. When you do it on your own, you want to know that 15 minutes or an hour and a half later, you've accomplished something. It was worth it. And you're motivated to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, no. And I know that's a good feeling when you're like, I did that.
Yes.
I finally cleaned that space. So do you ever like have like a pile of this is to donate, this is to give back?
What you might want to do is put a basket in your bedroom that once you've decluttered your whole room, you have something in there that once you put something on and realize you don't want to keep this anymore, then you're throwing it in that basket. And periodically, you'll pick up that basket and know that those are things you're going to donate. Or I always say, have a spot that your friends or family know when mom stops by, she knows she can dig through that box and help herself to the Milwaukee mug or the blue shirt that she always liked on you. But people can help themselves to things that they know that you're going to get rid of. Because a lot of people struggle letting go because they feel that the donating is wasteful, that they're throwing it away. So when you connect somebody with, I call it something that pulls at your heartstrings, that if I can find somewhere in a charity or someone that's going to use it, then it's a little bit easier for you letting go. So same thing with your clothes, finding some organization that can take it and give to those in need sometimes makes it a little bit easier to let go.
Right. Well, what are some other tips that you typically or sometimes share during your presentations with people?
I like to recommend taking pictures and taking lots of pictures. Seems like a really weird thing, but you might be working really hard to declutter. And after, I don't know, an hour or a day, you look back and see what you got done. You're like, man, I'm not getting anything done. I still have so much to do. And then you look back at the picture and you're like, oh, there used to be four rows of boxes and now we're down to two. I've gotten half of what was done down here. And I've worked with people who struggle letting go of like their children's artwork or a baptismal dress for a child that's in their 30s, and they'll take pictures of that so that they have that to go back to, but they really don't need that item anymore. One thing I really like to do is the container concept. When I was working with a client, we were working in her basement. Her parents had passed away and they moved everything down from their home up north. So we're working together. She was awesome to work with. We were going really fast. She would make decisions and give me the things that she wanted to hold on to. So she was giving me things that she was keeping from mom and dad. So I would put it in a tote and then she'd give me more and I'd put it in a tote and the tote was full. So I got a bigger one. She said that was it. Don't get a larger tote anymore. I will never look at these items anymore. I can't let them go, but I'm never going to open the bin. So we stopped at that size of a tote. Well, now we started finding grandma's stuff. So she gave it to me and I walked over and I went to grab another bin to put grandma's stuff in. And she said, nope, grandma, mom, and dad all go in the same bin. So with the container concept, that decided how much you can keep. It can be a shelf, it can be a drawer, it can be a closet, it can be a room. But you're picking something that limits you on how much you can keep.
So what should people be doing daily, weekly, and monthly to stay on top of keeping their homes clean and organized?
So, you know, when your friend calls and says they're in the area and they're going to stop by, so you quickly clean off the kitchen counter or the kitchen table, flat surfaces. So one of the things I like to recommend is maybe that 15 minutes a day is just making sure that you're keeping your flat surfaces, because those are easy to become dumping grounds, to pile all up all the mail, the kids' stuff, just walking in the door and dropping packages. Let that be a great way to get started, and making sure that you maintain that, your flat surfaces, the vanity in the bathroom, the tables in the living room. But keeping control of your flat surfaces would be one thing you could do.
So for people who have implemented these tips in their life, what feedback do you hear from them? Like, what do they say to you after they've kept up, they've been consistent?
I think one of my all-time favorite comments that I get from people that I worked with in the past is that they love being able to shop in their house. Someone recently contacted me and she said that they were going to hang up pictures on the wall, and she knew that I had a bin of all the picture hangers and things like that. And just a simple thing that I had a bin for batteries, and she knew that she could go to the basement and shop. I had another lady who said the exact same thing, that she loved to be able to shop. She entertained, and we created a spot in the basement where this was all the glassware. One shelf in another cabinet was all plasticware. So she would know where to go shop in her house for whatever it is she needs. So I think that's one of my favorite things to hear back from past clients is the shopping. Because when I'm working with them, I'll say, if I ask you for a battery right now, where would you tell me to go look for it? And that's where we're going to create the organizing system. Then they can, again, maintain it after I left. So I like that they know where to go for it, and it makes it easier for them to maintain after I've left.
Before we wrap up, is there any final advice you have for people who are hoping to deep clean, declutter, and organize this year?
Again, I don't want people to think it has to be that difficult, that stressful. Just keep it simple, be consistent, and call a professional organizer if you get stuck.
I love that. Thank you so much for speaking with me today and sharing some great advice with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tamara Starr is a professional organizer and owner of Sweet Simplicity. She spoke with LegFX expert Nunez, and you can hear more of this conversation at WUWM.com.